Welcome to The Common Sense Show with your host, Dave Hodges. We discuss a variety of topics here, including the deep state, the new world order, Agenda 21. There is no one, no topic beyond Dave's reach, because as you know, you can't dodge the Hodge.
Hey everybody, Dave Hodges back here with you on The Common Sense Show, the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we're in our guest segment. We want to thank you for staying with us. And just want to remind everybody about thecommonsenseshow.tv. Tell you folks, you do not want to miss this. Our numbers have exploded. And for good reason. We're getting great feedback, so thecommonsenseshow.tv is where you want to be. Also too, in case you've noticed, or haven't noticed, we have some conflict in our society. I know you think. Yeah, and railroads are being destroyed by the fires. Bob Griswold sent me a video. It was of Antifa and BLM trying to destroy railroad tracks as a train was traveling over it. And listen, when the just-in-time delivery stop, so does the food. And we can help you with the storable food, and we can't help you for much longer, because we think things are going to devolve very quickly. So you want to go to preparewithdave.com, $100 off the four-week package. People are getting multiple sets of this because it's the best way to stockpile food. It's the most inexpensive, and 25-year shelf life. Preparewithdave.com. And if you have food, you have to have water. 40% off the Alexa Pure Pro water filter system. While supplies last, go to waterwithdave.com. So you've got the two opportunities there, and I really encourage you to take advantage of it. Well, we have John Wayne back with us, and there's more weird things going on out in space than you can shake a stick at, proverbially shake a stick at. I mean, we've talked about asteroids, and I'm still concerned, but now we've got a lot of other phenomena at work up there. So, John, welcome back to the show. And there's so much bizarre stuff that you sent me, it's hard to know. I couldn't rank order these. I mean, we're getting Greek mythology and swarms of drones. It's crazy.
It really is, Dave. And, you know, I think we're witnessing our modern-day arms race. And, you know, the AI technology, the drone swarms, and as you mentioned, the company Kratos, who created the XA-58, I believe it's XA-58 Valkyrie. It's basically a scramjet or a wingman, a drone, if you will. And they've had all kinds of testings lately showing that these AI drones can completely outsmart some of the world's best fighter pilots.
I've seen that. Yeah, very very concerning, because when do they start writing their own programs, modifying their own programs, and they don't need humans?
That's right. Well, you know, that's already happened. Remember the two computers that they'd hooked up to each other, these two supercomputers, and they started to communicate and write their own code. And the scientists, I guess if that's what we'll call them, or the experts, for lack of a better term, they unplugged it. You know, they're like, oh my God, what is this thing doing? They're communicating. We don't even know what they're saying. We've got to unplug it. Well, I mean, if that's the case, then the machine already knows that mankind is concerned with its own form of developing its own thought processes and patterns. I mean, this is Terminator Skynet on steroids, Dave.
Hey, that's a good way to put it. I hadn't thought of it that way.
Yeah, you know, and if I think if we don't get something in some form of declaration, you know, within all nations and treaties, this is going to run away, and it's going to completely, probably eventually over time, eradicate humanity from the face of the earth.
Or usher in transhumanism, where, yes, humanity out, but the transhumanists are living in harmony with our AI friends.
Absolutely, that's right, you know, and the AI, it's not artificial intelligence, Dave. I mean, I've had it told to me this way from a physicist out of Germany. He said, you know, I said, AI, artificial intelligence, or alien intelligence? And he said, undoubtedly alien intelligence. So, you know, they're playing with the words and they do all these things, you know. But I think, you know, more terrestrially, I think we've got a bigger concern with, you know, China as well. I mean, you know, and all world powers are in this arms race for the, within the, what do you call it, the fifth industrial revolution, if you will.
You're talking about the AI revolution, I'm assuming, and that's actually my theory behind COVID and why it came in the way it did. One of the five reasons why. And what COVID does is it kills old industrialization, which it has effectively done, so they can usher in AI.
That's right. You know, and not only that, but the driverless systems, the robotic warehouses, completely taking the person, for the most part, out of the faction of production, distribution, and things to this effect. I mean, basically all a human being would be needed for would be maintenance. But even it's going to get to the point to where these things are able to repair themselves, not only with nanotechnology, but, you know, it's just insane, Dave, how all of this is coming out and how we were living it. I mean, we're seeing this as it's breaking, and a lot of folks are unaware. And I think it's important that we inform the masses about all of this as soon as possible because, you know, we're behind the eight ball on this, Dave, and they're getting ready to pull the trigger.
Let's go through the eight-ball designation you just gave us about being behind it. Give us a couple of examples and why we should be concerned.
Well, you know, I don't know if you remember the TED Talk where they did the drone swarm demonstration with the little capsule of C4 that was targeted to hit the dummy. Well, the United States Air Force, through Project Maven, have developed swarm drones. And if you remember, Google came out and said, some of the Google executives or some of the higher ups come out and said, hey, we don't want nothing to do with any of this. This is completely against our human code. I mean, this is morally bankrupt. Literally figuring out how to program these things to target certain individuals. But back to the Air Force. So the Air Force has these F-16 pods that will eject these drones. They go out, they create a skirmish line, like let's say you live in a small community, and this skirmish line of drones, probably up to anywhere from 150 to 500, you've got the scout drones that move forward, and then you've got the drones that come in to eliminate the targets. If, let's say, bad actors got a hold of this technology, and we know that there's many bad actors, especially that operate here in the United States within Capitol Hill, who's to say they wouldn't turn it loose on the populace? That's a little bit behind the eight ball.
And what do you mean by turn it loose on the populace? I think I know, but I want to hear you say it.
Just hit the button. Just push the button, go. They're in their underground redoubts where they're safe, and while these machines just literally eradicate the populace. I mean, it's a horrendous thing to even be speaking of or think of, but, I mean, it's not without doubt within their abilities and capabilities, especially with their dark funding and their black projects that they've been working on over the past few centuries.
Well, that's let's put it this way. Is it a social credit application like we see with China? Is it a surveillance leading to imprisonment application? I mean, how would you describe it?
You know, I could see how that would tie into it. You know, and if they vaccinate and inoculate everybody if how they want to, you know, that's going to be the tracking system. And we know that with Bill Gates' patent, WO2020060606.
I mean, how interesting that is. Is that 060606? Sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I couldn't let that go by.
Right, you know, and I mean, you know, let's get a little bit further into it. WO2020, World Order by 2020. you know, and the mark of the beast is 666, and what's detailed within this patent is absolutely frightening, to where they literally use your body motions and movement to create a data system, not only a data system, but a credit score system. So instead of having financial gain of money or hard assets, gold or silver, your body literally is recorded for the motions and movements that it makes to earn you credits to spare or spend, right? It'd be like the old the green stamps from back in the 1940s. I mean, it's so over and out of the, off the top that, you know, even talking about it, it sounds so ridiculously insane, but this is what they're doing. The patent that I'm speaking of that we just mentioned, you know, Bill Gates has got another patent, and I have read this. I don't know the number to it. I'd have to find it, and I'd have to do some digging. But they literally want to have a little tiny electrode within your brain that they say stimulates, but mm-hmm. it gives you an electric shock whenever you decide to, you know, you're too sleepy, you can't continue to work or move. They just give you a zap. I mean, this is complete totalitarian technocracy, Dave, and they want to roll it out. And those, like, back to the drones and the credit score system. So what I would say is if somebody fell too far below the credit score system and was just an undesirable, it's kind of like the Twilight Zone, the obsolete man. They would just eradicate them with a drone strike. You know, I mean, a very precise miniature drone strike that just takes out the person without any collateral damage.
Deliver up a Hellfire missile to your front yard, huh?
Well, I think they've been doing that, I think, you know. I don't know if you've seen it, some of these news reports where some of these houses, or a house in a neighborhood, just blows up into smithereens, just completely leveled, you know. That's not a water heater. I mean, yeah, a water heater will do a lot of damage, but I mean, my goodness, completely yeah. level a house? I think they're already doing it, Dave. You know, and remember Robert Dorner, that guy that got into that shootout with the law a few years ago. And they trapped him in that cabin up there in Oregon, and they said, let's burn it down. He's in there, burn it down. Well, they were tracking that guy with drones. And this is, you know, before we were actually using drones stateside, but they were being used over in the Middle East a whole heck of a lot.
Wow. That's, it's amazing, but is there, let's put it this way, centralized control versus autonomy. Can you address that, where the technology is right now?
Well, I think a lot of it's autonomous, you know, because if we knew the downright facts of the matter of the stuff that they have, yeah, I mean, it would curl your toenails. You know, I mean, think about the Atlas robot, you know, this from Boston Dynamics. This thing weighs 500 pounds, and it can jump in the air, do backflips, parkour, and all kinds of crazy motions and movement. DARPA here within the past year and a half, I saw an article, I think you might have seen it too, I don't know, you'd have to confirm, but where they were looking for underground storage space, and they put contracts out looking for underground storage space. You know, I've had people telling me, hey man, they've got these things built in mass, and these are what's going to exact justice upon the populace that don't want to go, you know, foot the bill or toe the line, you know. And you've got predictive programming from movies like Chaffee, Elysium, these cyborg police. I mean, this is where we're headed, Dave. I mean, in our lifetime, I mean, as fast as things are moving, I mean, I'm 35. You know, I'm pretty sure I'll see such things in my life, but it just, I don't know. Do you think we'll see the full rollout of it in our lifetime, or are they going to wait until we're gone and then the fully indoctrinated public will roll it out on them?
I think the circumstances will dictate the degree of intervention. If there's resistance, I can see them taking this AI and turn them into gun confiscators.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, you're not going to be able to fight a 500-pound robot that's AI and can do everything.
No, and I understand, too, that they're equipped with, I'm trying to think of the proper term here, body language truth detection system.
Oh, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, and this is something, yeah, who told me this? Oh yes, that's right. One of my ex-CIA friends who told me, he says, Dave, you said you know about body language? I said, yeah, as a matter of my education, I do. And he said, well, this will interest you, that they can do like the same thing a lie detector can do, but at a distance. And so if they come to your door, sir, do you have any registered guns. We need to collect them. We have on record here, you have an AK-47 and a 350 semi-automatic. Do you have any other guns that we don't know about? And that's when the scanning starts.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I said what I said.
Remember, they're rolling out this technology, and it was, you know, everything is devised in China first, interestingly enough, and then they roll it out to the West, as we're seeing in Australia, with the containment camps and containment facilities that they've put up. What I was getting at is the temperature scanners, right? These helmets that they're giving the police officers to wear that have this visor.
Yeah.
And they're able to read temperatures of the human body. So to be able to, have a built-in physical lie detection system into an electronic component is not that far-fetched, and it's not out of the realm of the idea, because things are so far along the line that, we're in trouble, darn it. We're in big trouble.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more. It's, man, I know what I want to ask you. It's just going to sound like it's so off the wall, but I'm going to make a link in the modern day quote from Kamala Harris. People talk about a recent mistake where she said, in my administration, Harris Biden ticket. She did that a lot earlier, 2 days into her nomination for vice president. She said, in my administration, I'm going to give Congress 100 days to get their act together with regard to guns, and then I'll start doing executive orders. And this is why I'm asking you the question about the capabilities of these AI robots, because I think there will be some hesitancy on the part of human collectors, if they're from this country and not from the UN, to do what she would prescribe them to do. Obviously, with robots, there would be no hesitation. So I just wondered what you thought about that.
Yeah, you think of the people that, good upstanding people that are within the establishments, law enforcement, the judicial system. There are good people in there. Even the CIA and the FBI, there's good people in them organizations that, if given the order to go and do an unconstitutional order, like gun confiscation, people would say, hey, man, we see where this country's going. We're not going to toe the line as what you want us to do. So they would, I wouldn't doubt it for them to use machines.
Right.
You're absolutely right about that observation. But then again, we do know that there are people that will lick the boots and follow the orders down to the very end. And when they're expendable, they'll stand there and say, well, my goodness, what do I do now? Because I'm the last person. I've already done the dirty work for everybody, and now they want to get rid of me. There's nobody else. What's that? I can't remember the poem, but verse, they came for them, then.
Yeah, right.
There wasn't. Yeah. So on and so forth.
Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying here. But I can see this coming. I guess what I'm saying is this. I think they can trust machine for negative enforcement a lot more than they can trust humans. You can condition humans to do it. There's all kinds of psychological experiments to show about how we acquiesce to authority. Just look at the face mask situation. But I'm just saying, in terms of really going to get the guns, not being faked out, not having any empathy, no sympathy for someone at all whose house you're at, these robots aren't going to care. They got one mission. They're going to get your gun.
That's right. And if they don't get the weapon that is on the file or the log, they'd probably just kill you on the spot.
That was my next point. Exactly. That's exactly right.
I didn't mean to steal your thunder.
No, but no, great minds think alike. And I think actually you're right on the money with what you're saying with this. This is, people can't even imagine what's coming. I wrote an article yesterday, and I detailed goals 1 and 2 of COVID. economic destruction of the United States, because you got to bring down the U.S. economy before you can establish a new world order economic system. Number two was to take away the Constitution, civil liberties, for the same thing, so you can have autocratic rule. People get that. What people don't get is the things that will follow. No one's even talking about what's going to follow the election if the Democrats win. No one's talking about that. I mean,
nope.
And I'm saying, well, okay, you've got the gun confiscation orders on file. You've got FM 39.4, the FEMA camp orders on file.
Yep.
I mean, people aren't even considering how far this is going to go. And this is why I think AI has to be a part of it. Now, you sent me something about drone swarms. Can you address that?
Yeah, you know, there have been drone swarm incursions over some very delicate areas, I guess we could put it that way. And delicate areas, I mean military installations and nuclear installations.
Mm-hmm.
These, you know, if I just had to take a wag at a wild-ass guess, I'd have to say the Chinese are the ones fully behind this, but especially with the situation with Guam, Anderson Air Force Base. There's a THAAD missile defense system there in Guam that basically covers the whole Indochina or the Indo-Pacific area. And these drone swarms that come in, they tried to track them down. They couldn't find out where they'd went. I mean, it's a big fiasco for the United States military to be, you know, to be overdone by such a primitive, small form of technology. You know, something that they don't have a defense for. And they don't. I mean, and this is proven, right? So if they could take a drone and go in there and, you know, a weaponized drone, as we've seen them do in the Middle East with these terrorist cells, or, you know, if that's even what we'll call them, but, you know, that's a whole other story. But they, you know, they can drop a mortar shell from 500, 600 foot in the air. Nobody even knows the drone's there, and then, you know, well, whatever's below is gone. You know, that is so primitive, but it would be so effective in completely neutralizing the air defenses of the South China Sea area. You know, I mean, this is big stuff, Dave, and I think, you know, from what I've seen, and I study history, I'm a history buff, and especially World War II, I had three great uncles and my grandfather served in the conflict, you know, and what I'm seeing is exactly the same setup to what ignited World War II with Japan happening with China.
Yeah, I agree.
To a T.
Totally agree.
Absolute T.
Yeah, lack of natural resources, autocratic government, can't compete with the West. So they need to start accumulating resources, and we'll come back to that, because I kind of want to end on that note. But you also sent me something called the Eyes of Argus. This was the far side of bizarre.
Yes.
Listen, I think this is totally believable, but it's bizarre. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, you know, these weapons programs and things that they're in the process of doing to completely lock the planet down is insane. It comes from Raytheon Intelligence in space. You know, I'd have to go back and read through the article, but the thing is basically, you know, when all these things were starting to break out up there in Minneapolis and Chicago and, you know, these other major cities, I stepped out in the backyard, and I usually step out in the yard and try to catch a good look at the sky for at least 40 to 45 minutes, if not longer, every night. And as I was standing out there, I saw all of these objects flying directly in that direction towards Chicago. And I told myself, I said, wow, John, that is the spy system that, you know, that they've got flying over the country to keep an eye on everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these things can pick up all kinds of stuff. You know, I mean, back in the early 80s, was it, that they could read the date off of a dime from space?
Yes, I remember that.
You know, so now, I mean, imagine the technology that they've got now. I mean, they could literally track somebody in real time all the time. And this even goes into Project Loon and the HAL Ball projects, too, where these are they're rolling them out as a guise to, well, we're going to connect the world with the internet globally. No, it's not. This is to track every single form of movement that even takes place on the earth. And not only that, but even weapons platforms, you know, kind of like the rods from God, but not only that now, but now we're saying directed energy weapons, and we have, was it the director of the director from the Department of Defense came out and said, well, now China and Russia have unequivocally got, space-based weapons platforms or direct energy weapons. You know, not good.
Yeah, I have some information on that. I've got a source inside the Space Force, and reliable, highly reliable. And there were two secret Space Forces for a while until Trump brought the one that we know now publicly out of the shadows because he wanted to control it for his purposes and also get it better funding, more reliable funding from Congress and not be dependent upon that elusive black op money. So he brings that out, but I've been told there is another secret space program. It bifurcated under the control of the CIA and the Mossad in the 60s, actually late 50s, early 60s. And when you say Russia, China, they probably are aligned with them right now, at least with China. So I'm not going to say China and Russia control it. And I'm not talking killer satellites. That's old technology. I'm talking about can lay down a firing pattern that can take out whatever you want from space in Northern California and Southern Oregon. And these are space-based weapons. And this, to me, this is what we're looking at here. You have two opposing space forces. And listen, my confidence call on this is really high. And I've had it confirmed by someone else. They said their source tells them the same thing. Have you come across leaving China out as the sole proprietor or controller? Have you come across another space force that's out there, secretive but not aligned necessarily with any one nation? Only they do so only out of convenience.
You know, I mean, not in particularly. I want to say maybe Germany. There's a lot of things taking place right now. I mean, this is just off the cuff, off the top of my head, just thinking outside the box, if you will. We see World War One and World War Two. Everything was against Germany. World War Three, it's starting to look as well as Germany plays a major role in this part of the factor. And everybody's kind of starting to be iffy or turn their backs or ally with Germany. So I think Germany has an off-base, off-world system. I mean, they were working on this back in the 1940s, and they accomplished a lot of things. And if you remember Admiral Byrd's trip down to the South and the encounter they had down there, without trying to get too woo-hoo, you know, I would have to say if there was any other country that would be formal, it would be Germany. But, you know, China is doing some big things in space, too. Everybody's sending stuff off to Mars. So, but to the extent of what the United States has, I don't think so, Dave. I really don't. And I wanted to mention real quick about the Greek mythology, because I was sitting here looking back through this. It's been a little bit since I'd read it. You know, that Argus, or Project Argus, this basically controlling everything from space through visual acuity, and it's basically they're rolling it out as a form of missile defense. But folks, it's way more advanced than that. They're tracking all and everybody's movement. But this, what it stands for, Argus. Well, Argus Panoptes was a giant with 1,000 eyes who always kept watch, even in his sleep. And Kratos, who created this, you know, this scramjet, this AI wingman, if you will, is the god of war. You know, it's interesting that they continue to use the terms of Greek mythology within their paradigm. I think it's a form of magic, Dave. I think that they use this to, it just sounds crazy. I know it does. But the thing is, they use these names in such a form that it gives more power to whatever units that they have created.
It's really interesting you put it that way. Why do you think there's the link to Greek mythology?
Well,
is it mythical, you know, or is there direct causal? Is there actual hidden history? What do you think it is?
I think it's a combination of all of that, you know, and dark arts and arcane magic. You know, I think that there's a lot of this stuff tied into these things. And, you know, it's... Okay, for instance, look at Shiva, the statue of Shiva out in CERN there in Geneva, Switzerland. These people were literally doing a ritualistic, you know, false sacrifice in front of this goddess. So that would just lead credence to me to say that some of these people may be, you know, working dark magic in the back of these programs to try and just garner whatever they can from him. Because, I mean, we know that this stuff has worked for thousands of years. We know prayer works. I've seen it. I've witnessed miracles. And now, I mean, look, they're trying to make it to where nobody can go to church.
Yeah, that's true.
So there is power in it, Dave, without a doubt. I think that using certain names and things that are tied to our very earliest accordance to history of what we can recollect, you know, does give certain forms of energy if the energy is allowed to permit.
Very interesting. What about the energy and how it interfaces with machine?
You know, and there's a woman who lost her life. Her name was Tracy Twyman. And she was talking about this kind of stuff. She had a dead man switch. And it was released. They found her hanging, and she had adamantly come out on different programs saying, I will not kill myself. I'm not suicidal. Well, they found her hanging. And what she was talking about and covering is exactly what you just said, is how these Wi-Fi and magnetic energies, these EMF fields, are actual gateways for entities from the third through the interdimensional entities to enter the body and commit possession. And I'm telling you, Dave, I'm seeing so many things across the board of videos that come out. I mean, I'm always watching Live Leaks and other video platforms to see the mental acuity or the mental stability of the populace, and things are disintegrating fast. I mean, people charging police officers with knives, you know, just for absolutely no reason. I mean, people are losing it, and I think it's through these gateways that are opened up that we absorb every day we reside in these smog-filled areas of EMF and UHF and VHF frequencies, and these are gateways to for possession, without a doubt. And that's what I'm serious. That's what got Tracy Twyman killed.
Tell me about her, because the name vaguely rings a bell, but I can't place it.
She was just another name in the alternative media that just did in-depth research and thought outside the box, you know. And if you get a little too close to something, they don't like it, and they'll nix someone. But, you know, just another name, another face like us and our counterparts and our colleagues. You know, it's just a person that was investigating such things and technologies.
What? How long ago did she die?
This is about a year and a half ago, I believe.
So this is recent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so did anything come with the dead man switches?
Just the exact information I just told you about the electronic systems or actual gateways and portals for entities, if you will. Like I said, third-dimensional, extra-dimensional entities. We could say even demons, if you wanted to, or the djinn.
I understand what you're saying. Is this a subsystem of CERN?
That's a good question. You know, that's the thing. We really don't even know what CERN does or what it is. I mean, they say, well, yeah, we're colliding particles to try and create dark matter or figure out the, you know, constructs of the universe. No, there's a lot more to it. You know, I think that there could be a connectivity or a form of connection with that. They crank this thing on and then it opens up whatever the door is. We know that it is built over the temple of Apollyon, another Greek god, by the way. You know, and it's said to be the opening of the abyss, or the door to the bottomless pit. So if they do crank this thing on, let a few things out, and then they permeate the electronic systems, Dave, and anything is possible, because anything that we discuss or anything that's ever been mentioned has happened or is either going to happen.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my mind around some of this stuff. With CERN, I'm pretty convinced it's satanic, demonic, opens up a portal to other beings, because if it wasn't, then why wouldn't they just let the stuff out? If it's purely scientific, there'd be nothing to hide.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. You know, there is a physicist or a scientist or whatever you want to call him that was working there, and he said, he had a conversation with somebody. He said, "Hey, you know, what are you doing there?" The guy asked this guy, and he said, "Well," he goes, "I really can't tell you, but we're talking to things." He goes, "What do you mean talking to things? We don't know. We're communicating with something. You don't know what it is? No, but they're in this other kind of like form of space and time, but we're communicating and talking with them." I mean, this is literally the key to Abaddon, you know, the opening of the bottomless pit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think there's other things that they can do with this. I think that they can actually jump us and skip us through space and time to try and either move an agenda or an accomplish an agenda, or to try and divert certain actions from happening. I mean, this gets pretty far out there, like, Planet X trying to maybe jump the planet into a different form, a different area within our solar system, so that we don't have to deal with the effects of this thing coming in. And I had a talk with a guy, a pilot, the other night, absolutely amazing gentleman who's got a wealth of information, and he was saying, you know, he pointed out about Venus and how it's brighter and this and that, and he said, well, you know, from what I've been hearing is that they've moved us closer to Venus to get us out of the way from this incoming planetary body. I'm like, well, you know, that's pretty far-fetched, but hey, man, I mean, anything's possible. And, you know, as we've noticed and we've mentioned before, these planets, they look different, they're brighter, they look bigger, you know. So it's a hodgepodge, but, you know, I mean, like I said, that's far-fetched, but with everything before that, what we were saying about the electronics, I think absolutely, without a doubt, that there are things that are tied together in such realms.
Yeah, I will tell you one thing that you've brought up that I feel pretty strongly about, based on what I know, and at least what I perceive I know based on what I've been told by reliable sources. When you're looking at this alternative force out there in space, I really don't think it's under the control of China and or Russia. I think they're, shall we say, invited players to the control setting. They'll play a role. But the establishment of the controllers of this, I've been told quite clearly, they're satanic, demonic, but it's an extreme form of CIA, and shared with the Mossad, and then, you know, Rothschild, basic empire. And this is why I reject the idea of just a country. It's a movement. And I'll tell you, it's analogous to this. When my dad worked with captured German scientists, he asked them repeatedly, you know, as he worked with different groups, he said, "Where did you get this technology? You were dozens, if not hundreds of years ahead of us in some areas." And they said, "Oh, we got it from aliens." And my dad asked him, "Did you ever meet the aliens?" And they said, "No, but our commanders did." And my dad came away with the distinct opinion that it probably wasn't alien. They were because we know how the Nazis were into the occult. They
Himmler
were
Himmler and Weissberg Castle. Yes, go
there
ahead.
You go. And they were channeling. Yeah, they were channeling these demonic influences. And I'm going to go one step further in this story. I'm good friends with Vance Davis, former NSA, was part of the Gulfstream 7, and no one really understands his story. They just don't listen. And Vance and I have been friends for 27 years, and he told me, that when he was assigned to NATO as part of his NSA duties, and he said that they were made to try to get into the demonic to observe it and report on it, much the same way that my dad suspected the Germans were channeling some of this knowledge. It wasn't from aliens, it was from the demons pretending to be aliens. And then Vance and his six compadres, one will be his future wife, they desert their post, they come to America, H.W. Bush captures them, puts them all in separate facilities in solitary confinement, but because they had the right things laid out, you know, kind of a dead man switch, if you will, Bush had to release them. And, I mean, when I start looking at this, what we're talking about here, to me, there's a really clear pattern that sets its sights on who really is in charge of that secondary secret space program that's lighting up Northern California.
And it goes into sacrifice as well. Anybody that dies within these are literally a sacrifice offered up to Lucifer or their satanic agenda. Dave, this has been going on for millennia. For billions of years.
Yeah, John, you're breaking up just a little bit. Maybe you can reorient.
Okay, is that better?
That's much better. Thank you. I got most of what you said, but listen, I totally agree with you. But my point is, though, this is not a three-dimensional issue that we're dealing with here. This is something I think the human race has never really dealt with, at least in terms of our recorded history. But that's why I wanted to ask you about the references to the ancient Greeks. You know, you have Apollo, you got Zeus. Do you think these were some kind of entities that had this kind of technology way back when?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and same with like Quetzalcoatl and, these other ancient civilizations. You know, these were real beings. These were real entities, as you said, and they did possess these powers. You know, I mean, the Mahabharata in Hindu literature. You know, the wars in heaven and the Vimana. All these things have existed before. I mean, they've been around. You know, and to see it, you know, back then, yeah, they were open. They came and they did communicate and contact with the people and devise their ways of culture. And then they kind of just turned their back and said, well, either their planetary system was headed out of the solar system and they had to go with it, and they haven't been back for X amount of time, or they just left us alone to see what their creation would do. And now they're going to come back, and either, you know, as it was before with, you know, Zeus and the Pantheon, it very may well could be the same thing, but only with an alien twist on it, right? You know, I mean, it does sound absolutely crazy, but I mean, without a doubt, I believe that we are right with everything we're talking about and discussing right now.
Yeah, I just wonder how cyclical the history is. In other words, is CERN the resurrection of the ancient Greek mythology, technologies, and personalities? I've wondered that a lot. I mean, if you really want to know what's coming, I would say people need to understand CERN. I just don't know how we'd go about it.
Well, you know, it's also said that CERN is built on top of where the Tower of Babel was, you know. And the Tower of Babel, you know, they were trying to reach to the heavens where the stars were, to the sky, to reach God or the kingdom of heaven, and it was destroyed. So, I mean, CERN is a very big thing, but, you know, not only that, but, you know, now, Dave, they're starting to build these things all over the place. Some of them are miniature. This guy, he was telling me, I can't remember where he said they were at. I thought he said somewhere there was something to this effect in Houston, in Texas. I think, I can't remember if he said Houston specifically. But he said that they're starting to build these things all over the world. And I don't know if you heard this, but they're building an even bigger one at CERN. So now, okay, you got like a little circle in the middle, and you got the big circle, which is the CERN Hadron Collider, LHC, the Large Hadron Collider. And now they're building a bigger one even around that third circle, Dave.
Hmm. Any ideas?
Maybe just to, maybe they haven't built it big enough to accomplish what they're trying to do, and they need to build it bigger to open the pit. I mean, that's, I don't know. There's something. I mean, you're not going to dump trillions and trillions of dollars into this, you know, thing that they've already dumped it into and then build even bigger unless there is a major, thing to gain from it on for their agenda.
I agree, but we are really in the dark.
We really are. You know, I saw a video of this. This was, man, I think this is probably about four and a half or five years ago, where they turned the LHC on, they cranked it to full power, and they literally had geysers of water erupting out of the ground there in France. And like I said, this is about 4.5-5 years ago, but we're in the dark. We don't know exactly down to a T what they're doing, who they're communicating with, and what their objective goal is.
I have some theories, but that's all they are. But I will tell you, I, speaking as a Christian, I have a feeling it ties to end days prophecies as these kinds of entities coming among us is prophesized pretty clearly. While we still have a couple minutes left, any news on the asteroid front?
Well, you know, every day I get articles that I just pop up in my news feeds about, this incoming rock, that incoming rock, here a rock, there a rock, you know. And I believe that they are conditioning the folks for an impact event. We're going to experience one. And if you don't remember here, well, within one of our previous broadcasts, these three rocks that we've mentioned, well, that first one came damn close, within the hair of a gnat's rear end close. And, I mean, and as you termed it, it was a near miss is what it was. And, you know, it missed us. It wasn't, a close approach or nothing. It grazed us. And now they're saying that November 2nd, they've just been hammering that, and you've seen the articles that they've written and have put out in press release saying, could an asteroid affect the presidential election? Could this thing hit the night before the election? So they're planning something big. Is it going to be man, or is it going to be from God? I do not know, but, they're planning something big. I wanted to tell you and mention to your listeners, I didn't know if you were aware of this, but they have erected anti-air defenses around Las Vegas over the past 2.5 weeks.
Do you know what's it related to?
The thing is they come out about these EMP strike, Homeland Security, I think about a week ago, this actual written up article saying that, hey, this could very well be a very big concern, and not too long before that article was released, somebody sent me a video of anti-air defense systems put out in the desert along the highways of Las Vegas.
Is it EMP proof, or is it asteroid proof, or what? Do you have any notion?
I'd just say it's just general, just general machinery. If it's EMP proof, I don't know. It just looked like a rocket system set up for, it was actually set up and pointed at the sky, like they was waiting, if something was to happen. So,
that's interesting.
Yeah, and I didn't know if you'd heard about that. That's why
this is the first I've heard about it. It's
I'll have to find that video and I'll send it to you.
Yeah, we're going to have to really get on top of this because, to me, this is significant. Any tracking of the trajectory of a projected asteroid to strike on November 2nd?
It is going to come close, and they're saying it has a non-chance of missing Earth, a non-zero chance of missing Earth, and I think that was that ES4, 2018 ES4, if I'm recollecting correctly. I'd have to look back through some things here to find that distinction, but I'm pretty sure that's the rock, and that's the one, like I said, NASA isn't, in quotations, tracking it, but the ESA is. And, you know, if I think they're concerned, you know, that this could be a possibility. And we do know that certain asteroids that do create an airburst incident can also create an EMP. It depends on the makeup of said rock.
That's true. You're absolutely right about that. I have read that, and that would go to explain a little bit about why we're seeing what we're seeing in Vegas.
That's right.
Wow.
You know, but could you think a missile defense system like that could knock a space rock out of the sky? I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's worth a try. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's worth a try. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, you might just turn into a shotgun blast instead of a bullet, a rifle bullet. If you follow my trajectory drift there, you know.
Yeah, no, I totally get it. This is fascinating. We're going to have to explore this after we do a little more research on this. Tell people how they can follow your good work, John.
Well, you know, I do a broadcast every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, called The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1, with me, John Wayne, at freedomslips.com or revolution.radio. Both URLs will take you to the same place.
Okay, and this is the kind of thing you like to cover.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm all over the place, Dave. I've got so much research going on. It's just something piques my interest or catches my attention, and then I dive headlong into it.
That's good. This has been really interesting here, but I think what we've done at this point in time, we've actually posed more questions than we have answers, and that's okay, because the path to knowledge starts with questioning. But this was really interesting, but I want to thank you for coming on the Common Sense Show. And please update us, because I'd like to get some kind of closure on a few of these things we brought up. And I know right now there's not that possibility, but let's work towards that.
Absolutely. Sounds good. And thanks for having me on with you, Dave.
Okay, John. Take care. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.